Well, good morning, friends and brethren. Very good to see you. We have a good number here, a lot of visitors. We're happy to have you here. Glad you're a part of our number today. Sometimes there are events in life that happen that are both good and bad. Seldom do we ponder or question the good. We just kind of accept that, and we're happy when good things happen. But sometimes the bad things that happen in life might just kind of lay on our mind. We might dwell on those things. In fact, we might even look at who we can blame to see who has caused us some misfortune. We might even be tempted at times when we've been wronged by somebody, particularly if it's caused us some great discomfort, to hold ill will or bad feelings about them and maybe never let them go. Some are inclined to allow anger and bitterness to just brew in our hearts. And it changes us if we do that. It poisons our spirit. Bitterness is one of Satan's most powerful tools. Some are changed in such a way that outlooks are different. When we hold on to bitterness and we have bad things happen in life that we just don't let go of, it can change us, not in a good way. And sometimes we look for opportunity to inflict pain and evil on those who have caused us to suffer. And we might even be able to think of some people that we know have acted that way. Or maybe even it speaks of us. There are some evil experiences in this life that we cannot rationalize, and sometimes we just can't understand why some things happen. Particularly if it happens to us, we say, why? And we ask ourselves, why did this happen to me? And we may ask the question about why evil influences have affected our lives, and we might not be able to come to just a good answer, an acceptable answer, particularly if we feel that we've done nothing to deserve the evil that has come to us, other than to say that there are some things that we just cannot control. We cannot stop the force of evil. We cannot change the wicked inclinations of man. We cannot prevent being touched by the immorality and the evils of the world. It's all around, and sometimes bad things are going to happen. It's real, and it's all around us. And this is Satan's realm, and we cannot control Satan. But we can control us. We can control our hearts. We can control how we respond to evil things that might happen around us and in our lives. And we are the only ones that have the power to control our hearts. When we think of the name of Joseph, there are a lot of valuable lessons that come to mind. A lot of things that we might think about. Joseph was hated by his brothers, and he was sold into slavery when he was just 17 years old. His father Jacob loved Joseph more than the other brothers, than the other children, because Joseph was the son of his old age. And there was no attempt to hide that partiality toward the one son, and it caused the siblings to have resentment. A lesson that should not be lost on parents and grandparents. Now, adding to that, Joseph had some prophetic dreams. Dreams in which he was exalted, he was raised above his brothers. And when they heard that, they hated him all the more. Genesis chapter 37, verse 8. So when opportunity came, they acted on that hatred with the intention of killing him. That was their plan. That was their intention. And instead, they sold Joseph to a band of merchants as a slave for 20 pieces of silver. He was sold in Egypt to Potiphar, the captain of Pharaoh's guard. And you have to think, and you have to just imagine a little bit how he felt.
You try to think about what was processing through his mind as these events over the course of several years now are taking place. How he felt despised and mistreated by his own brothers, and how far away from home he was, expecting never to see his father again. He had little hope of that. And a lot of this has come about because his brothers hated him all the more. The more they heard, the more they knew about Joseph, the partiality, the love that his father had for him, the more they hated him, and it brought about a series of events, evil events, that would forever affect the life of Joseph. And over the course of time, Joseph faced difficult trials that may have pushed most of us to the brink of the abyss. It may have just pressed a lot of us to the very edge, to the point of going off the edge and forgetting values that were once important to us, choosing instead to fall into the depths of despair. If Joseph had just gone off that edge, I think I would have said, I understand why. He had to deal with a lot. He had to face a lot of unpleasant things. It would be easy to go to that place, into this area of despair. And from time to time, I suppose everyone does. Joseph never lost his way. Joseph never forgot the God he served. Genesis 39 and verse 21. Joseph may not have realized it at the time, but even while he was in prison, and maybe especially while he was in prison, the Lord was with him. It's a simple point, but in that text, the Lord was with him. This is what changes the life of Joseph, because he never lost sight of who he was. He never lost sight of God. We should understand that God is in control and is able to use the most difficult times of our lives to produce something good. Through a large portion of his life, Joseph was never able to see how God used his tragedies for a greater purpose. I can only imagine when Joseph was in that cistern, when he was in that pit and he knew his brothers were wanting to kill him, that it would have been a hard time to think, this is going to turn out good. When Joseph was being led away by the merchants after he'd been sold as a slave, it's a hard time to think, there are going to be good things that come from this. And when he was in Pharaoh's prison, I'm having a hard time imagining that he was thinking, this is a good place to be because this is going to be great. God is in control. And God is able to use the most difficult times of our lives, tragedies that we face, God is able to use even those things for good. And in time, Joseph would look back and be able to see how the providence of God worked in his life. There must have been many times when he wondered how anything good could come out of what he was experiencing, but in the end, a bigger picture became clear. Genesis chapter 50. Look at Genesis chapter 50 in verse 20. We're thinking ahead a little bit to the end of the story of Joseph with his brothers when they are with him in Egypt. Oh, some things have changed now. And to his brothers, he gives some assurance. He says to them, "You intended to do me harm, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph could see it now. Years have passed, many years have passed. A lot of water over the dam, as we say. Now he could see how God had used tragedies in his life to produce something good. When we think about the life of Joseph, there are some outstanding facts to consider. Perhaps very simply, the purpose and the action of Joseph's brothers were evil. Okay, no secret there, but it just has to be said. His brothers purpose was evil. They did not mean well. And throughout chapter 37 of Genesis, here are some points that stand out. That when Joseph was 17 years old, his brothers hated him, verses 4 and verse 7 say. They envied him, verse 11 tells us. They conspired to kill him, verse 18. And stopping short of murder, seeing a means of profit, they sold him as a slave. So these are the things we see that happen in a short period of time in chapter 37. These actions are not the actions of men who are led by the Spirit of God, but they are in Satan's domain. We can also see that God's purpose is good. The contrast, the other side. It is always God's purpose to be a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 would say. God's purpose was good for Joseph and ultimately for Joseph's family. And in the bigger picture, God used Joseph to help carry out this bigger message. You remember back in Genesis chapter 15, there was a message that God had for Abraham. In the bigger picture here of what God is doing through Joseph is carrying out a promise that he had made generations before to Abraham, Joseph's great-grandfather, to whom he said, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions." Genesis 15, verses 13 and 14. Abraham didn't live to see all of those things transpire, and I can't imagine he understood fully what all of that meant. And in fact, Joseph's not going to see the end result of that, but he's a part of the picture. He's a part of what's unfolding because God is in control. The purpose of Joseph's brothers were evil. The purpose of God is good. And God was involved in Joseph's life to accomplish His purpose. God is concerned and is going to accomplish His purpose. God intervened in the life of Joseph and his family, and it was a blessing to them and at a time of famine. It was Joseph's family that received great blessings in a time of suffering for many. But this process was achieved because of God. Through Joseph's father, Jacob, and his 12 sons would come the 12 tribes of Israel. Who would have thought that? Who could have seen that in the future? God could. Joseph later understood when he said to his brothers, back in Genesis 45 this time, Joseph would say to his brothers, "God sent me ahead of you to preserve you as a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God." Genesis 45, verses 7 and 8. And we see God's power is greater than the forces of those led by Satan. Not to be underestimated. The power of Satan is great. His influence affects us all. But God's power is greater. God's power overcomes. It was Satan who ruled in the hearts of Joseph's brothers. It was Satan that filled their hearts with the evil that led them to hate him and envy him and sell him as a slave. But God was able to overrule the work of Satan and to bring good from evil. Remember again what Joseph said to his brothers. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." Genesis 50. Well, what does that have to do with you and me? What applications can we make from this? When we are mistreated, when we are abused by evil people, we need to be careful in our response because we cannot always see how God will use evil to accomplish good. Satan is always the cause of evil, and there is much more reason to leave Satan than to forsake God. And like Joseph, We must patiently wait for the Lord, knowing that His purpose is for good always. And so our concern becomes then, what would the Lord want us to do? How would the Lord want me to respond? Because our concern is what is the Lord's purpose. We also have to be careful not to take vengeance on those who mistreat us. Oh, that's hard. But that's not our place. Joseph gained an awareness that God used his sufferings for good, and when he understood that, he even assured his brothers that they had no reason to fear him. Joseph was in a place of power. He was in a place, in a position that he could have destroyed them a little at a time or all at one time. It would have been at his call. And from a man's way of thinking, if anyone had purpose and had reason to want to take vengeance, certainly Joseph had that. But he didn't. That wasn't his place. We think about what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Romans 12 and verse 19. Something else that comes out of this. Sometimes there are some things that happen to us that we just need to forget. When we are wronged, when we are unable to encourage the perpetrators to repent, we will do well to remember the example that Joseph demonstrated of forgiveness. When Joseph's first son was born, he named him Manasseh. Forgiveness. That's what Manasseh means, or forgetfulness. And so remember again, what did Joseph say? Joseph had said, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. Genesis 45 and verse 51. Joseph was able to put those things away. He was able to forget. He was able to go on with life and in fact pull his family into his life. God was able to use all of those circumstances and those events to do something good. You know, there is never anything good that is to be gained by brooding over our mistreatment. We've all been there. We've all had occasion in our lives where things have happened that shouldn't have happened, that wasn't right, it wasn't fair, someone did something to us that they had no right to do. But we will be best served if we can learn forgetfulness, as Joseph did, and put those things away, focus on what God would want us to do and what He would want us to be, and move along. God may use some unfortunate circumstances to accomplish something good. And it might even be in us. The sooner we learn to put things behind us and get on with our lives, the better. This life is just too short to waste time harboring ill will. Imagine how different this Bible story would be if Joseph was focused on the evil he endured and dreamed about how he could get revenge as opposed to pressing on for a greater good. Just imagine how different this story would be. If anyone had reason to be angry and respond accordingly, Joseph did. Satan not only caused the evil hearts of his brothers and that brought Joseph to the point of being enslaved in a foreign land, but it was Satan's who motivated Potiphar's wife to lust after him and seduce him, and all that came from that. And for her to lie when he rejected her and have him imprisoned, Satan's behind all of these things. And it was Satan that produced the ingratitude of the butler to forget Joseph in prison for 2 more years. And who would have guessed that there was a greater mission to come out of all of this? All of these things, all of these tragedies we look at were linked together in such a way to raise Joseph to a position to save his family, to bring them to Egypt, where they would become the great nation that God had foretold. Who would have guessed that? Who knew? Who knew that God would use these horrible circumstances to bring it about and to produce something good? Who knew? God knew. And sometimes we don't understand all that God is doing. We can't always see how God is working in our lives, sometimes in the most difficult times, helping and hoping that we will move in such a way that we will be identified as His, where He can use us to accomplish His good. The power of God to turn evil into good is in a very dramatic way demonstrated by the life of Christ. The one whom Joseph was a type. If you remember some things that Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, he identified Joseph as a type of Christ. That through a series of just incredible circumstances, evil circumstances, there was great good that came out of the life of Joseph. And such with the life of Christ. Our hardships may not turn out for our physical or financial or social good like they did with Joseph. But such earthly benefits are really not worth much. If that's what we're wanting, if that's what our focus and our goal is in life, there'll come a day where we understand we went after the wrong thing. Because all of those things will go away and will mean nothing in the end. To elevate us to a point of position and wealth and matters of this concern is not God's purpose for us. And it's easy for us to lose sight that, in fact, God does have a purpose for us, but it's all based and aimed at our spiritual needs, that which will bring us closer to Him. And we have to remember sometime that we were created for His purpose. And hardships of life are sometimes used to mold us, to change us, to help us to grow into the image of Christ, to take us from relying on ourselves to dependence on God. Joseph never gave up on that, his dependence on God, even when he was in prison. He knew that it was God who enabled him to interpret the dreams. It was God who put him in a place of position and power. It was God who put him in a position where he could bring his family to Egypt, fulfilling the plan that God had long foretold. Sometimes we can't see what God has in store or how God will use difficulties in our life to lift us up, to mold us, to be what we should be. It's only when we think of life in these terms that God is in control and that God can use even evil circumstances for our good. It's only when we think in those terms that we can understand and we can apply passages that I'm afraid sometimes are misused, but seems applicable now, that we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8, verse 28. God, in fact, will work for good in our lives. But first, we will have to make a choice. We have to be willing to accept. We have to be willing to live for His purpose. Put our own will behind. Put our own desires, our own wants, our own wishes, that has to go behind. And what has to come in front and what has to be paramount in our life above all things is a desire and a willingness to live for Him. And then regardless of what we have to face and deal with in life, He will be with us. He will be with us, and in the end, we will be with Him. That should be our focus. But are we willing? Are we willing to give up self so that we can live for Him? It's a choice that no one can make for us. We have to make that ourselves. What will it be? Are we willing to submit ourselves, to give ourselves, to give our heart to the Lord? So much so that we're willing to respond to whatever He would want and have us to do. Having a faith that is so great that we can't help but to change our lives, to be and to live more like Him, to repent of our sins. A faith that is so great that we can't help but confess His name. Change our lives to be baptized for remission of sins, to be immersed in water into Jesus Christ so that our sins may be washed away. Are we willing? Are we willing to submit to Him? Are you? Do you need to respond? Why would you wait? Please come as we stand and sing.